We've preached this, preachers have preached this, you've heard this probably no telling how many times.
Right.
But I really feel led tonight to go back to this and talk about the bases. I think there's a lot of people in here who understand this, but there may be a few that really don't understand this. And I want us to look at this in Genesis chapter number 3. If you found your place and able to stand, we'll invite you to do that as we read the Word of God tonight with one another. We'll begin reading in verse number 1 in Genesis chapter 3. This is what I would say would be the beginning of our race, where we came from.
Right.
And no one's exempt from this.
Right.
Because sin passed down from one man unto all.
Right.
That includes you.
Yep.
That includes the preachers. That includes the deacons. Yep. That includes the lay members. That's to everybody.
Everybody
is in this Genesis chapter 3.
Yep.
This is where it started. This is where the fall started.
Praise God.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? I want to tell you, that's the first question that was ever asked in your King James Bible.
Yep.
And it was the devil asking it.
That's
what about that?
Yep.
I'm going to a place where there'll be no more questions.
Yes.
There's a lot of things that we question down here. We won't know about because we just don't understand.
Yep.
And the devil, he answered the first question. Because the first question was answered, God had 4 or 5 questions to follow these questions that he asked the ones that he created about. And so, but I'm going to a place where there is no more questions. He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it.
Right.
Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die.
Yep.
Change one word.
Yep.
For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day.
Yeah.
And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou?
Oh my.
And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the woman said, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat.
Yep.
And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eat of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life.
Yep.
Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it were thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return.
Oh, yes.
Adam called his wife's name Eve. She was the mother, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them.
Yep.
And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand, take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man. He placed at the eastward of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Lord, we thank you for your scriptures. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to read them tonight. We thank you for preserving them unto this generation. Lord, I thank you, God, for the ability to see what we've seen in these scriptures. Lord, as we've studied, and Lord, as you've taught to us, God, throughout the years, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd bring back to my remembrance the things that need to be remembered tonight. I pray, God, that you would use my lips of clay. Lord, above all, I ask that you'd make me so small that I'll not be seen here tonight, but Lord, enlarge your son so big that he'll not be missed, God. Lord, I pray for the people that is hearing the word tonight, that you would touch them, open up their hearts, Lord. Let it find a lodging place. Let it save sinners, God. Let it encourage the saints, God, and strengthen the weak. And Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name, Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. This is where the fall began. And as I said before I started reading, everybody it falls in this category of a fallen sinner.
Yep.
And so this is the beginning. God had made everything. He had created everything in 6 days. And on the sixth day, the evening, the way I read it, is when he made man. God made man. And prior to this, God had already done all the work. God had already made everything. He had made the garden for man to stay in. He set man up pretty good. God done all the work. And man come in on the end of God's finished work. And so man was born into rest. Does that sound familiar to you after you've been saved? But before that, there was no sin. Then of course Satan started talking to Eve, and we read in your hearing what took place. And they eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Bible says that tree was placed in the midst of the garden, as well as the tree of life. And man back then, they chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That is to know what was good and what was evil. That's what they chose over the tree of life, because it says that it was beautiful. It was one to be desired of. And that's what they picked. And when they did, and in verse number 7, the Bible says the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. I think in verse number 7, what we find here is we find mankind trying to clothe themselves, trying to take care of their own sin. They seen that they had fallen. Their understanding was open to what sin was, and they realized that they were naked. And they also realized, because their conscience was woken up, that they needed some covering. And so they tried to do the covering themselves. And they tried to sew fig leaves together to cover their sin, to cover their nakedness. But we find that, I think, some 14 verses later, in verse number 21, God had to reclothe them. Somewhere along the line here between those verses, we see that some animal had to give their life up, and there was bloodshed. And somewhere God told them to take the figs off, take their own covering off, and do away with it, because it was not good enough.
And God gave them a covering that he had made for them. And he said, put that on. And so here we are, these years later, we're in this line, this Adamic nature that was passed down from Adam. Sin through one man passed down to all. And you say, preacher, I don't know why I can't get a hold of this sin. I don't know why I can't stop this sin. Something must be wrong with me. But friend, nothing's wrong with you. That's not wrong with everybody in this church building. We're all sinners by nature, by practice, and by choice. And absolutely hopeless and helpless sinners outside of the good grace of God. That's where every one of us are tonight. And so there's nothing wrong with you. You're not some nasty, sick person because you got a sin problem. But because you got a sin problem, that means you're just a human being, thank God, that needs to be born again. And instead of trying to clothe your own self, and people does that, they try to say, you say, preacher, what's the clothing that they try to use? Well, church membership's one of them. You know, they think that if they sign their name to a church card, that'll clothe them and that'll make them feel better. But they find at the end of the day that they go home and they're still eat up with sin and that it ain't helped them any. And so they say, I must need to read my Bible more. And so they take out time. They carve out time out of their busy life and they pick up their Bible and they go to reading their Bible, and the more they read it, the more that it seems that the clothing's falling off. Thank God, revealing who they are some more. And they say, well, that ain't really helping. Maybe I ought to try to go to church more. Maybe I ought to try to go to many revival meetings as I can. And so they set out to go to many church meetings as they possibly can and stay on the road trying to go and listen to all the preaching that they can. And the more that they do, the more that the covering that they make to themselves seems to just fall to the ground and just reveal them again. You say, well, God must be being mean to me by trying to expose me. No, he's not. He's trying to show you grace upon grace. He's trying to say, take that old junk off. You'll never be able to clothe yourself. You'll never be able to satisfy yourself. You got a problem that can't be helped, thank God. If you're going to get any help, you must look unto the blessed Savior, the Son of God, the Lord, and King of Kings, Jesus Christ. The only help for a sinner. Then I think about, you know, if I've had the question asked to me as a preacher, and I'm sure some of you had, that if God was all-knowing and omnipotent, which he is, and if he knew that he could, if he could look into time and he knew that mankind was going to turn against him, why would he even make man in the first place? We read these little words here. He said after they sinned when they were in the garden that they had become as one of us to know good and evil.
Right.
And many times in the book of Genesis here in chapter number 3, words like us is used throughout the Bible in Genesis. When they went to create man in the first place, he said, let us make man, listen to this, in our image. That's exact quotation out of your King James Bible. Let us make man in our image. And then a verse or two down, it said, and God made man in his own image.
That's right.
You say, well, he just said us. Let us make man in our image. That's more than one. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then he turned around and said, and God made man in his image.
Right.
You say, preacher, what does that mean? Well, that means that the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost was always there together. Yeah. Always there together. Yeah. And then when God went to finalize and make man, he made them in his own image because those three are one. Thank God, they're tied up in one. That's why when he made man in their image, it was made in the very image of God. Which is the only thing that was made in the image of God's mankind.
Go ahead. That's right.
He loved man. He loved man above all creation. He loved mankind. And he made man in his image. So that is to answer our question as to how God all-knowing, he could look. Because God, by the way, I want to say this. I know I've got more nights to preach. I'm not going to try to cover it all tonight. But I do want to obey the Lord. This could be our last night. I do want to say this, that we, a lot of folks, has lost the sight of God's holiness.
That's right.
Amen.
We cannot fathom. I don't care how long you've been in church.
No,
Brother Savage, if we were to talk after church, Brother Savage would tell me, and if I'm right, preacher, just shake your head. Yes, you'd tell me after church, you'd say, all these years, preacher, I've still never really got a glimpse and a full understanding of the holiness of God.
Right. That's right.
God is so holy that the very thought of sin, the very anything, any kind of sin that you can do, I heard a preacher say, you know, you'd be sitting, I mean, a lot of people sin tonight here sitting in this church.
Right.
I mean, just sit there, have a wrong thought about somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe somebody got up and sang a little thought, try to hit your mind, you know, and you dwelt on that thought and you done something with it. I mean, listen, I said one time that I'm not going to sin, and I think in the next 3 seconds I sin one time a second. Peter tried that one time, didn't he? He said, I'd never do it. Jesus said, fella, I want to tell you, before the sun goes down this very day, you'll do it 3 times today.
Right.
The very day you said you'll not do it, you'll do it 3 times a day.
Yes.
That shows just how sinful we are.
Yes.
I mean, listen, brother, we're eat up with it.
Yes.
We're eat up with it.
You're right.
Good preaching.
And by the way, I want to say this, man don't choose God, God chose man.
Yeah.
Man don't choose God. We don't choose God. We hate God by our nature, that is. Not a regenerated person. I'm talking about just for the sinner tonight, trying to give you an understanding. There has been enmity, which means hatred, between you and God Almighty. But thank God for that seed that was to come, that he would implant into a woman, and that would grow up. And he told that seed, he told Satan this. He said, listen, you'll bruise his heel. In other words, you'll deliver a blow to him, but it will not be a detrimental blow. In other words, you'll bruise the heel, you'll give him a blow, but it will not kill him. He said, but let me tell you what the seed is going to do to you. He said, that seed's going to crush your hand. In other words, he said, that seed's going to kill you. And here we are, these thousands of years later, we're living in this fulfilled prophecy. Newsflash, Satan's already been defeated.
Right. Yes, sir.
He's already been.
Done.
That's already come to pass.
That's exactly
right. He's already crushed the head of Satan. Let me tell you what Satan is. He's a defeated foe.
Right.
That's what he is.
Yep.
He's a defeated foe. He's already been defeated. Jesus has already crushed his head. He already defeated him. And by the way, listen, I'm going to preach on this, Lord will, later on. I want to cover this week, Lord, to help us on just who we are in Christ and how wonderful it is being in Christ. But see, because of Jesus and what he done, crushing the head of Satan, that seed that he put in the woman, after set enmity between God and man, that is hatred, where man don't come to God and they're blocked from each other, that seed came and brought them back together. And because the seed already crushed the head of Satan, and we've been put into that seed, and that seed has been put into us, that's what he said. Thank God we know that we have this confidence being in Christ Jesus, because he defeated him, we defeated him. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
You say, well, preacher, some days I feel like he defeated me. Well, thank God we don't go off feelings.
Right.
We go,
right,
we go off what we know.
That's right.
Right, here's what we know.
Yeah. Right.
My feelings change as much as I change socks.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Just being honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes my feelings are off.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, sometimes my feelings may be off about you.
Right.
Sometimes my feelings may be off about my own self. I can't go off my feelings.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like Satan's got the upper hand. But if I look at the things I know, woo, I see that he's already been defeated, thank God. Because Christ did it, I did it.
Right.
That's
right.
That's it. I hope that some folk can get a hold of that this week. That everything Christ has accomplished.
Hallelujah.
Everybody listening? Everything Christ has accomplished, we've already accomplished.
That's right.
That's exactly right. We've been placed in Christ.
Amen.
Now, I'm telling you, if I don't make a sinner want that, I don't know what in the world else will.
Right.
So we see the fallen of man. We see them trying to clothe themselves. God reclothed them. See, listen, I've been clothed in the righteousness of the Son of God.
Amen.
And you may follow me along, and you can if you want to. You can follow me along, and if you knew my thought process, if you knew everything about me, you'd say probably, I don't know, every 10 seconds. I don't know how often, but you'd say, preacher, you're just sin. Then later on, you'd say, you're just sin. You're just sin. Then if you try to tell God about it, see, Christ, the blood works as a filter. God was to look down and try to check on me. I mean, I'm just figure speak just so you can understand it. If he looked down and tried to check on me, which he already knows it, he ain't got to do that. But if he did, he would have to look through the filter of the Son, Jesus Christ. And when he seen me, I would appear before God Almighty as perfect. How? How does that happen? Because the Son of God's perfect. The Son of Man's perfect. I've been placed in Him, and everything He is before God, I am before God. Thank God. God gave His Son. The Son gave His life, and the sinner gets to go free. Pardoned by grace. I was in Georgia preaching, and man, a preacher's riding around together, and he gave me a yellow folder. I don't know what them are called. But anyways, he gave it to me, and it was about as thick as my Bible is. He said, don't you look through that. And I got that thing, and I started flipping through it. And I mean, it told of everything he is guilty of in the state of Georgia. Everything. I'm surprised the fellow wasn't in prison, under the prison. I flipped through that, and I thought, my goodness. I mean, it looks like the state of Georgia showed you a little grace. And he said they had. I was looking through that, just all kinds of stuff. And he pulls over the road. And I'll tell you something. Let me tell y'all something. If I'm just being completely honest with you, that's who I am. I'm not going to lie to you. Brother, if I was to hand the pastor an envelope full of all of my sins after salvation, you couldn't pick them up.
Either.
I believe that. You couldn't pick them up.
Right.
But then that fella pulled over and he just went to squalling and crying and he gave me another envelope that looked like they wasn't nothing in it.
Go ahead.
And I opened it up and there's a piece of paper stamped in gold from the state of Georgia and it said pardon.
Hey!
And he started rejoicing, thank God. And listen, if we could give each other all the things we've ever done wrong, but thank God on the inside of our soul, stamped in crimson red, said pardon by the Son of God. Thank God. I'm telling you, there's nothing like it.
That's right.
I can show you all the things I've done wrong. I can show it to you, thank God. But then I can also show you, stamped in crimson red with his signature, pardoned by the very Son of God. And all of a sudden, all that weight of all that stuff no longer matters.
Right.
Gone.
That's right.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Not because he's a forgetful God, but because he's a merciful God. Gone. Pardoned by grace. Pardoned by grace. Son gave his life so the sinners could go free. We're locked in Christ now. Now we've been clothed in the righteousness of the Son of God. And just as he is, so are we in this world. In this world. I'm not waiting to get there to be like him. I already am. Right now as I'm standing before you. Just like the Son of God.
Amen.
You say you don't look at it. Well, it hath not yet appeared what I shall be.
Amen.
We know this, that when he doth appear, I shall be like him. I'm being conformed to his darling image. I may not look like it. I told my wife, as the Lord is dealing with me about this, we was going down the road and I was talking to her about this. I said, honey, it's about like this, that if the Lord showed me a vision of what our oldest son would be at 50 year old, what he would be doing for a living. Maybe he's some kind of intelligent bigwig somewhere. I don't know. I said, if God was to show me that and show me how he would talk and how he would be and how he would treat people and how he would dress and how he would look from 50 years from now, I would look at him right now and I'd say, there's no way, you're just so far from it.
Right. Yep.
Listen, some of us look a little closer than what some of us do. I may not look very close. Maybe 5 years goes by and I look at him again and I think, boy, there's still no hope for you to be what God showed me you was going to be in 50 years. But oh, if he could give me the response. You just wait, Daddy. You just wait. Maybe 40 years goes by. We're 10 years closer to the 50 years now. 40 years goes by. He looks a little closer now. Now I'm not starting to have as many doubts as I did. I said, you're looking more, woo! You're looking more and more like him. And then maybe 5 years goes on and I get a little excited, get a little beside myself. And then maybe it gets to the 49-year mark. And I say, boy, you're looking just like what I see you. Thank God. And the closer it gets, the closer you get.
Well, glory.
And then the 50 years goes by and I said, there it is.
Yeah.
There it is. Thank God. Sinners by nature, by choice, and by practice. And so I say this, and I'm going to focus on this. If the Lord don't change my mind, more later on in the week. But I do want to say this. That God, I want everybody to listen to this real close. I pray the Holy Ghost lets this lodge inside of your heart deep. When this happened, and your own clothing fell off, and God clothed you in the righteousness of Christ, and you got saved, and you got born again. What God did there, what happened in that moment, whether you know it or not, and I pray you will come to know it, I guarantee you that, because you're His workmanship.
That's right.
And I guarantee you He'll get you there. But here's what you'll find out. And hopefully it may be tonight that you'll find this out. The Lord will settle it in your heart. It took all the pressure off of you to be right.
Right. Yep.
That's the truth. It took all the pressure off of you. And so here it is. We don't work to earn God's favor.
Amen.
We don't come, you know, you don't come to church to earn God's favor. You come to church to worship Him and adore Him because you love Him. We don't do it to earn God's favor. I told my wife, I said, I'm married to you and you ain't got to do a thing to earn my favor.
Right.
You've already earned it.
Right.
I've done put the ring on your finger. Thank God. Listen, when you wake up and your hair don't look quite right, I'm going to love you just the same. When you wake up and your breath may not smell right, I'm going to love you just the same. Y'all listen to me. I'm just telling you real life things. When you wake up, thank God, maybe we have a word or two, the little mixed up thing, I'm going to love you just the same.
Right.
I'm not earning her love and she ain't earning my love. It's already settled, thank God, when we got married that day. I'm not having to earn the love of God. If I had to, I'd work myself to death. It's a free gift of God. Thank God, I'm just standing in the favor of God tonight. I'm not earning anything. What in the world would you do to earn the love of God? You can't even write about it. Listen, this fellow they thought was insane. They threw him in a place to watch after him. You know what he wrote on the wall? I'm gonna change the wording so these young kids can understand it real good. He said this, that if all the skies was a piece of paper.
Right.
And he said if all the trees was a pen. And he said if all the people in the world knew how to write.
Right.
And they could gather these trees and write on the sky as paper. And for the ink, they would use the water in the ocean. He said it would drain that ocean dry. To write about the love of God. And they thought he was insane. Sound like to me he's pretty sane. Sound like to me he's seen something, thank God, that probably they need to see, the ones that was watching after him. Friend, I'm saying tonight that it can't be wrote. It cannot be expressed just right. Just how much God loves you. And the fact is, when you put in Christ, you've already got His love. You've got His favor. You have to do nothing to earn it. All you have to do is simply learn how to rest in what's already been bought and paid for and delivered to you all by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're standing on ground then that's already been paid for. That's already been bought. We're not marching to take over something that's not ours. We're just simply standing on ground that's already been given to us freely. When they march in war, they march toward each other to take something from somebody. I ain't got to do no marching. All I got to do is learn to stand.
I guarantee
it. Isn't it something? Isn't it something the way these babies learn first to sit?
Yeah.
Mine learned to sit up first.
Yeah. Mine too.
And then they learn to crawl.
Yeah.
And if you're ever going to be an obedient child of God, you're going to have to learn to sit.
Right.
Where am I sitting, preacher? You sit on the ground that's already been bought for you.
Right.
Sit there. Yeah, you can be up working and run yourself crazy. Remember that Mary and Martha?
Yeah. Cumbered about, brother.
Was it Martha that was cumbered about?
Yep. Right.
She was up trying.
Right, brother.
Working.
Yeah.
Trying to do. And there Mary was sitting
right
at the feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
And Martha didn't like that very much. She went in there and said, she needs to be up working like I am.
Yeah. Right.
He said, you let her alone.
Yeah.
Says she's chosen that good part
right
that shall not be taken away from her.
Right.
So we learn to see it. We learn to sit on the ground God's got for us. And after we learn to see it, we can crawl a little bit. And after we learn to crawl, hey, this is, listen, we're sitting in what already has been bought for us.
Yeah.
And then we get the opportunity to crawl around in it a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
We still ain't reaching a whole lot of ground crawling. These knees get tired.
Yeah.
My children, when they first learn to crawl, they just crawl a little bit. And I mean just swim around in it a little bit, you know. Just get to crawl around. You find something new. And my little kids, they'll find something new that they've never seen before.
Right.
And they'll eyeball that thing. They'll lick that thing. They'll get real familiar with it.
Hey,
they'll say, I like this pretty good.
Yeah.
And old daddy will come along and say, put it down. You can't keep them away from it.
Right.
Woo! Once they've crawled around and found something new that they like, they're going to go for it time and time again. You'll not keep them away from it.
I'll guarantee it.
They'll crawl around all they can, see all they can, crawl. And God said, now I'm going to let you walk a little bit in. You get to cover a little bit more ground when you get to walk around in a little bit.
Yes.
So you walk around and you get to find more goodies.
Yeah, brother.
Some goodies that you couldn't find just crawling around, you get to find a little bit more walking around.
Amen.
Get to pick these things up and experiment with them. Thank God, just see what they are.
Yep.
Swim around in them a little bit.
Praise
then
God.
After that, them little old children will go to running.
Yeah. Oh, brother.
They'll go to running, they can cover more ground then.
Amen.
Guaranteed.
They can find more stuff then. Preacher? Preacher, don't they ever fall? Oh, yeah. They fall.
Yeah.
They don't stay down though.
Nope.
You know why? They're too interested in going on.
Oh, yes.
They found something that ain't gonna make them just sit down.
Amen.
They're gonna keep on going for it.
Yeah.
Keep on going for it. Sinners by nature, by choice and by practice. The Lord Jesus came to redeem you, and you'll find that you still do struggle with the sin. Man's three parts, and I'm fixing to close. Hopefully this ain't too deep to get in the end. Man's made of three parts.
Right.
We see that when man was created in his own image, in their image, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost is one. When he was formed in their image, there was a body formed.
That's right.
There was a soul in the man.
Yep.
And God breathed, that is the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Three parts when man was created.
Yep.
And whenever man sinned, you know, you read where God said that in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. But we see that Adam kept on living. It was not necessarily God just talking about the physical death that would come to Adam.
Right.
But what God was saying that in the day you eat thereof, that third part that I breathe into you, it'll die and disconnect from me.
Right. Yep.
Amen.
Is that making sense to you?
Yep.
Get this real good. So that third part dies from God. Now the body keeps living.
Yep.
And the soul keeps living.
Right.
But it's dead to God.
Yeah.
And so it's miserable.
Yep.
But the problem is that soul and that body get so acquainted with each other. That is the flesh in line with you.
Yeah.
The reason why you keep going. And it gives it flesh the way, and the body gives it the way, and it's in line with one another.
Yep.
And then whenever God saves you. He breathes that God breathe breath back into you. And quicken. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. So a sinner before they get saved is a dead man walking. And then God breathed the breath of life into him and woke us back up. He made us alive unto God. And now we're three parts again. But now there's a war going on.
That's right.
Because this body and this soul has got along so good. Now they got a man who's been quickened and brought up who loves the things of God and hates the things of the flesh. And that spirit stuck right in the middle.
That's right.
And he's a pulling both ways. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
They ain't in line with one another. He's saying, go this way. The Spirit's saying, go this way. Go God's way. And the body's saying, go this way. Give me my way. Give me the flesh's way. And so he finds himself in a warfare that we see that Brother Paul spoke about.
Right. That's it.
But I don't tell you that warfare has already been won. It's already been won. It's good to be in Christ. Thank you for listening tonight.
Thank you, Jessica. Thank God.